What's wrong, Robin? Tired? Dizzy?
I had a strange feeling, Batman. As if visions of sugar plums were dancing in my head.
They should be, Boy Wonder. It's almost Christmas. Ho, 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 ho.
Welcome to Gotham City, Mr. Claus.
Why, call me Santa Claus, Batman. Everybody else does. Say, you tell me where the Batcave is and I'll leave a little present in your stocking.
If you can't trust Santa, whom can you trust?
Hello and Merry Christmas. Welcome to the Sound of Football Podcast, Advent Calendar 2017. I'm Graham Sibley, and joining me is Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
And Jan Bilton.
Hello.
Terry, it's our seventh Advent Calendar.
Yeah.
This is one of my favourite traditions, this is of the Sound of Football. Jan, you love this as well, don't you?
I do. This and fake World Cup draws. They're my favourite.
And we hope that they're your favourite too, listeners. That's why I'm dressed up as Santa, and these two guys are dressed up as elves. But you can't see that. But oh well. We do it to get in the spirit of things, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We always do. Anyway, the story behind the Advent calendar is this. You know what an Advent calendar is. One of those cardboard things with 24 doors on it. Usually with pieces of chocolate behind it or pictures of Christmassy settings as well. Our Advent calendar is a bit different. It just got things to do with football behind it. Things that we think are going to be big or issues within 2018. So there might be a few surprises. There might not be. There might be a few old familiar faces behind there as well. So, but we just don't know, do we? We don't know who's behind there.
We have no idea.
We have no idea.
We have not had sight of the list prior to recording this.
You've not sneaked in and snaffled all the chocolates, have you?
Definitely not.
There are going to be 24 chocolates behind those doors, aren't there?
Well.
Not again. What is also a tradition on these shows is Jan gets to open up the first door.
Of course.
Oh, it's Gareth Southgate.
Gareth Southgate. Oh, he's going to have a year, isn't he?
He is going to have it. Well, hopefully he will.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, one way or another, he's going to have a year.
He's either going to be consigned to that scrap heap, which is all the other England managers that have ever been, or he's going to be elevated to some kind of godlike status.
Sir Gareth Southgate.
Yes.
My word.
Could it be that by New Year's 2019, he is Sir Gareth Southgate? Or will they just give him a pity MBE, you know?
Yeah, but don't you think if any manager is going to get us through a penalty shootout at a World Cup, it's going to be Gareth Southgate.
The one with the reputation for taking the worst ever penalties as a player. yes, and of course responsible for the Euro 96 penalty. That would be marvellous.
Yeah.
And there is some poetry, I think, to Gareth Southgate succeeding in context for England.
Yeah.
Success being for quarterfinals. Or real success, big success, the semi-finals. I think it would be good if he did that because he seems like a nice enough fellow, doesn't he?
Seems like a lovely guy.
Yeah.
Do you think win or lose he's going to be in the job that he's in now, this time next year?
Well, it depends how big the lose of that option is.
Yeah.
Yes.
If it's a big lose, then no.
No.
But if, as Terry said, if he at least gets out the group stage and if he gets as far as the quarterfinals, I think yes. But I think anything less than that, I think...
Yeah, I agree. I think it would be difficult to see him being removed unless we fail to get out of the group stage.
Terry, you better open up door two.
I'd be happy to. Ooh, it's expected goals.
Well, expected goals, that's come into the vernacular this year, isn't it?
That was unexpected.
But yeah, it's in the mainstream now, isn't it?
It is.
It's on Match of the Day and stuff.
It's on Match of the Day. It's being reviled on Soccer Saturday.
Jeff Stelling went mental, didn't he?
He did.
He doesn't trust it, does he?
He doesn't trust it. I suspect he was probably being impish. I think maybe they become aware on Soccer Saturday that if you say outrageous anti-hipster things, it goes viral on Twitter.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if...
Yeah. But also, the hipsters are saying, well, yeah, he's right, because it's being used in single-game analysis.
Inevitably. Those hipsters are never going to be happy.
No.
That's why they're hipsters. there's something inauthentic about a single-game XG stat. No, well, I mean, truth, there is something in that, of course. A single game is a very small sample, but it offers you a snapshot of the game, and it's one of the many metrics.
Do you actually know what XG is?
Well, do you know what? You guys have mentioned this 3 or 4 times this season, and I've blagged just laughing along about it, and I'm just, what are these idiots talking about?
That's why we had you on the show.
I thought I'd read up on it before I came out tonight. Not that I had sight of the list, because I didn't, clearly, but I just thought, in case it comes up again, and I read one article, and then I read another, and then I read another, and I'm in love with XG.
All right.
There you go.
I love it.
Are you prepared to tell the listeners what it is?
No, he doesn't have to.
The listeners know what it is.
You don't have to explain love, do you?
No, this is true.
I'm going to open a door.
Good for you.
Football Men.
Ooh.
Football Men.
Related in some way to XG as well.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Football Men are suspicious of things like XG.
They are a bit. But Football Men are in resurgence now, aren't they now?
How so?
Well, look, Sam Allardyce is settling in quite well, isn't he?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah?
Well, I mean, there's no suppose so about it. He is.
David Moyes has obviously turned around West Ham.
Goodness, yes, I know. Who saw that coming, huh?
Yeah?
Mm.
Partey's back in the job.
Partey's indeed.
Everything is coming up roses for real Football Men now.
Mm. Does Roy qualify as a real Football Man?
Yeah, I think. Well, I don't know, because he speaks foreign, doesn't he?
Yeah, he is indeed. Yeah. He is multilingual.
And have you heard him say semi-finals?
Semi-finals.
Semi-finals. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't really.
Yeah.
When Fulham took Fulham to the Europa League, when they were going into the quarterfinals and won the quarterfinal, he kept referring to the semi-final as the semi-finale. And I don't know whether or not that was just him being Roy, or whether or not that was just him lapsing into a lexicon, because he speaks about 50 different languages. Yeah. So, I mean, it could well be that he just got his lexicons mixed up.
Yeah. So there's not some enclave in Croydon somewhere where that's how they speak?
Being two guys who grew up mostly in Croydon, I don't know anyone. I've never heard anyone refer to them.
Pretty certain we'd know about it if there was. Yeah, I'm pretty certain. Okay. Yeah, well, I don't know. There are some corners of Thornton Heath where maybe, but
Jan, open up another door.
It's them Spurs.
Spurs of the Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're going to have an interesting year, aren't they? Because they're going to go into their new ground. Well, their rebuilt old ground.
They're moving back into their old stadium.
Yeah, they're moving out of a rebuilt old ground into a new rebuilt old ground.
That's right.
For the start of next season, they're going to be in there. Is that the plan?
That's a great question.
It's not towards the end of this season or anything.
No.
Okay.
I think they've only got the contract for that one season. So, it better be ready. It's very exciting times for Tottenham Hotspur in general, but into the Champions League as well, into the knockout stages. Who knows what will happen when they move into that new old stadium.
Is it time to get rid of the term Spursy, though?
Yes, I've never held with that term anyway.
Yeah.
Spursy.
It's
a bit Spursy.
Yeah, it's all gone a bit Spursy, yeah.
Mm. Right, okay.
Yeah.
This perception that Spurs blow things, reach a point where they are sort of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory kind of thing.
Well, they do.
Well, I personally don't hold with it, because they're a big club that win far more games than they lose.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
perceptions, though? Is that just the sort of thing that we think they do, and it's just because when it does happen to them, it's because that's it. It's like the term peak Arsenal. Mm. Whenever they do something that they do quite often, because you see peak Arsenal so many times, it can't be the peak, because it's like something you tweet regularly every month.
Constant Arsenal.
Well,
yes.
I suppose if you blow it on quite a memorable and well publicised time, then that's going to stick in the public's perception, isn't it? So
peak Arsenal and Spursy are probably the same thing, aren't they?
They are, yes.
And really, perhaps what they actually mean is that two clubs that think they're bigger than what they are.
Ooh, yeah, truth.
Maybe
you better open them.
Maybe
up.
I had. Maybe I had.
Yeah.
Is it not his go?
No, I did the
Spurs.
Are
you Spurs? All right.
Yeah, go on then.
It's football podcasts.
Oh, wow, there are so many of them now.
There are. I've lost count of the number of football podcasts.
And who's on what now? It's all. Yeah. Everyone's sort of like, you know, jumping in and out of them, and dear, what's going on with them?
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, the whole Totally Football show.
Yeah.
And, the, you know, Ian McIntosh is taking on a. He's been bold, and he's trying to set up an industry, a business rather, based upon advertising sales and.
Good luck with that.
It's interesting. I mean, it's interesting because we know ourselves about reading the stats and downloads and what constitutes a download and what doesn't constitute a download.
Mm.
And it's not a it's not an exact science.
Not really.
Not as far as we can make out.
No.
I was interested because, I mean, I read a...
It's about as exact as alchemy.
I read an interview with Ian, and I don't doubt his sincerity in the slightest. I read an interview with him a couple of months ago on Business Insider. And he was saying that he had a lot of data that would be good for, you know, advertisers. You know, he knew what his target audiences were, and which surprised me because I thought, well, we're not slouches when it comes to collecting this kind of thing, and we have access to our own servers.
Right,
we're not anyone else's. They're directly us. We see our own raw data, and I'm not certain to what extent we can pick apart demographics from our. Usage. So it's really interesting to see what kind of model Ian comes up with and where the Totally Football show goes in 2018. And we're all looking forward to it.
Yeah,
wish them the best of luck. Then people should try and make some money out of this malarkey. It's all right for us, but for people who put, you know, big shifts in, work long hours and work hard, they deserve to be paid. And if Ian can make it work, then fantastic.
But of course, with the World Cup, other people will be deciding that they might try their hand at podcasts as well. And if they do, then good luck to them as well.
I'm sure we'll bury them. I mean, yes, good luck to them.
Like so many
others.
Yeah. Are you going to be listening to any new podcasts this year?
Well, I did pick up some new ones this year, both Sunderland ones. Wise Men Say, which is run by the guys at Earl of Supreme.
Yeah.
I used to write the article for. And the other one's called Roca Rapport, which is my favourite. I quite like that one. It's terrible for those guys. Well, I haven't listened to the most recent one, though, which I imagine is a bit more upbeat.
Yeah.
But the ones before, it's just, you know, it's hard work. And it's hard work for those fellas, you know, talking about a club that never wins. But they're really good quality.
Do you have to find yourself a quiet place to listen to
sometimes.
Them?
Sometimes.
Terry, are you listening to anything new?
In terms of football podcasts, no. Yeah. Unfortunately, one of my favourite podcasts was the 200% podcast, which closed recently.
Yeah.
And I haven't replaced it with another one. I continue to listen to Talking Fußball. And, of course, Football Fives is my second favourite football podcast.
I'd better open another door.
Mm.
Russian hooligans. Man, alive. Well, there's going to be a lot of column inches on Russian hooliganism.
Yeah,
isn't
I think there'll be a lot of column inches on Russian hooligans and not many Russian hooligans when we actually get there.
Yeah.
Russian hooligans is this World Cup's, the World Cup's not going to happen in South Africa.
Yeah.
Because the stadiums won't be ready. This is the thing.
Ironically, the stadiums might not be ready.
Well, that would be hilarious if that's actually what happened.
Nothing to do with hooligans, though.
No, nothing to do with hooligans.
It's a shame.
There are obviously lots of hooligans in Russia, but I think the authorities will be on top of them.
But your guest Manuel Veth said as much to me on your first podcast
did.
The season,
yeah.
and I think he's probably right.
Yes, if you go back to August listeners, you can find that podcast, and it's well worth listening to.
It is.
To it
very good one.
Yes,
yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, and open up another one.
It's transfer windows.
Oh, big changes in the transfer window in the Premier League in the summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know this.
Oh, do you not know this?
No.
Well, no, they brought it forward now so that it finishes before the season starts.
Oh, yes, I remember.
So
this
it's
now.
Still the same period of time,
right?
But it's going to close, I think, on the Thursday before the season kicks off.
That's good.
That is good. However, there's only 25 days in between the World Cup final and the day the transfer window closes.
That's bad.
Yeah, that is bad. Well, I suppose it's not bad for the Premier League because that means they can get a load of news being generated during the World Cup when everyone is usually focused on international football.
That's good.
They say, hey, look at our product. It's great. When it's not.
That's bad.
So yeah, you think that's a good idea? I mean, like Jim White probably doesn't think it's a good idea because, like, you know, he's going to be called in a bit earlier and when everyone's not really in their football frame. Or are they going to be in more football frame of mind?
I don't know, to be honest with you. Yeah. I don't know. The one thing that I think that our conversation last week has shown me is that I've got no idea what the football viewing public is into. So I couldn't tell you whether or not that's going to go down well. For those people who prefer narrative over football, they probably will think it's disappointing because they'd like it to go on longer.
Yeah.
But if you like football more than your narrative, then...
It will build up the start of the Premier League even more. Rather than having it, strangely, a few weeks into the season, it puts football into a place that where football isn't kind of normally being thought of when it's not actually been played. But it coincides, with, obviously, with the start of the season as well. So it should ramp it up a bit. So it might make it a bit more exciting.
Well, one of the things that's really going to mix it up a bit as well is the fact that it's only happening here. In Europe, it's going to be the same old...
So do you think that we'll still be able to sell, I say we, I mean England, we'll still be able to sell to foreign land if we want to?
Foreign clubs will still be able to come and buy players. Okay. So Real will still be sniffing around Coutinho.
But we can't buy, can we buy from foreign clubs?
No.
Okay,
so that's it. Once our deadline's done, that's it. We've done all our business. But so it's going to be this weird thing. But even though it's actually got a bit of support in Europe.
Right.
So there are people who say, they might follow suit, and especially if there's like this step change in, because there has been sort of a difference in transfer windows closing with some federations in Europe. I think the Spanish Federation, their one is open a couple of days longer usually sometimes. Yeah. It's only a couple of days.
And in Germany it can close earlier than in England and not in a time difference kind of way. We're shutting at midday.
Yeah.
So we're going home at midday. You guys can do what you like, but we're going home.
With your fax machines. Yeah. And your car windows.
And your dildos.
Yeah. Don't forget your dildos. I think you better open up another door.
Me?
Yes, you.
Okay, me. It's FIFA.
Well, FIFA, they're in a bit of trouble. They are in the news at the moment, aren't they?
They're always in the news, aren't they, FIFA?
Yeah. They're in the news for corruption.
Really?
What?
Yeah, no, I know.
That shocks me.
Yeah. No, it's not what you need just before a World Cup, is it?
No, it's not what you need. It's not good for the game.
No.
It's not good to see.
No, yeah. No.
What are they in the news for most recently, then?
Well, it's the there's a big trial in America at the moment.
That trial where they're
looking at TV rights and bribery and corruption, and Fox are right in the middle of it, aren't they? Who would have known that they were bribing officials for football?
That's right. Genuinely news to me. That is genuinely news to me.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. FIFA have been asked to investigate alleged political interference in the Spanish Football Federation.
Yes,
yes.
By the former president of the Spanish Football Federation, who has just recently come out of prison for corruption. While president of the Spanish so I'm not quite sure what his motivations are. He must have some agenda. Can't imagine what it would be doing that. But that did make me chuckle when I heard about that.
So do we think that the former bald UEFA guy, now bald FIFA guy, is going to still be in his post at the end of the year?
I think he's in for a rocky road this year, is bald FIFA guy.
Yeah.
But I just think that... also, because he's not had the... amount of time to cement himself in, so to speak.
Yeah, he's not as sure as old Sepp was.
No, in fact, the only cement he might have is his shoes. he's not careful.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I'd better open another door quick before we get into trouble. VAR. Oh, video assistant referees. Well, they're not going to be new next year, are they? Because they've been trialled extensively this year, haven't they, quite a lot of big leagues. The Bundesliga have got it, Serie A's got it.
A-League's got it,
MLS has got it as well.
MLS has it, yeah.
How's it going, Jan?
In my experience, badly.
Yeah, you saw it in
I saw it in the flesh.
In the flesh.
And it was, when I watched Berlin play. So, yeah, I thought it was rubbish, and they certainly didn't do a very good job of communicating what was happening to the crowd, which, considering there were 50,000 people there, all scratching their heads, that's something they need to look into.
And you weren't alone in that crowd, were you, thinking, hang on, this isn't working what I should do, is it?
There were a few others who were confused, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Terry, you obviously watch a lot of Bundesliga, so...
Yeah.
So... And you and I have been sceptical about VAR.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even before VAR was a thing.
Before it was even called VAR.
Yeah.
When it was just video assistants.
Yes. All right, well, so what can you tell the listeners about VAR and where it's going to go in 2018?
Well, I still think that they're going to press ahead with it, but I think that people will come to realise that football laws are genuinely a matter of interpretation, and that just because an extra pair of eyes looks at an incident, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to come to the same conclusion that you at home have come to, and certainly those in the stadium. But I think that they are too committed to it so far. The only proviso for that, of course, is whether or not it gets used in the World Cup.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that. Yeah. Has that been decided yet?
No, it's going to be decided in March. There's a lot of things going to be decided in March, but one of those is whether or not they're going to press ahead with it. They went ahead with it in the Club World Cup, and it was called into action a few times. There was a lengthy delay in one of the Real Madrid games. The Real Madrid players came off afterwards moaning about it, like they did last year in the same tournament. So when you've got a club like Real Madrid moaning about it, then they have a lot of sway.
It's interesting because the La Liga don't have it, and although they've plans to have it, there's a lot of gripes, because even though La Liga has two of the richest clubs in the world, it is not the richest league, because all of the other clubs, including the Gironas and your Eibars, they've got to chip in for this, and it's really bloody expensive. So dot dot dot.
Jan, open the door.
It's Jose Mourinho.
He wouldn't be an advent calendar without Jose.
He's in every year, isn't he?
I think he's been in every one, hasn't he? Has he been in every one?
I think he might have been, actually, yeah. He's coming a bit earlier now, though. He's usually a bit later on in the advent calendar. Usually about a week before Christmas. But here he is on the 10th, under the 10th door. Jose Mourinho, do you think he's having a good time of it at the moment?
I think he started well, and I think he very much enjoyed the early part of the season when Manchester United were thumping everyone. But they had a bit of a barren patch and were massively overtaken by their colleagues from across the city, and then he's potentially had his head turned by PSG as well, and he's made some noises about that. So whether next year sees him depart and go to France or not, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that usually he goes in 3-year cycles, and then at that point he's usually kicked out the door, irrespective of whether he's won stuff or not.
Yeah.
Because I imagine he's a challenge to work for, because he's a demanding fellow. It's not criticism necessarily. It's hard to see him going on much longer. And just to underline what Jan said, that Derby defeat would have damaged him. Hence the whole, I told them to keep the noise down and the classic deflection tactics,
Any other season and his Man United side would be top, though, wouldn't they?
Is that right?
Pretty much,
you think so? Yeah, well, fortunately it's this season, isn't it?
Yeah. Very, very true. Okay, Terry, open another door.
Okay. Boo. It's the Austin Crew.
The Austin Crew.
The Austin Crew, yeah. I went into this a little bit on my MLS preview for the box set, which subscribers to the box set would have read. I did this, in fairness, in lieu of the fact that I knew very little about either of the two teams playing in the MLS Cup final. So I thought, well, I'll just use this as an opportunity to have a bit of a rant about the Austin Crew. Columbus Crew are one of the founding members of MLS. They're the first franchise to build a soccer-specific stadium, and they are looking to, and it's been heavily proposed, that they will move from Columbus, Ohio, to Austin, Texas.
That's a long way, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit of a way for the Columbus faithful to travel.
Yeah, it's a couple of buses.
I think so. I mean, it's more than just a 403 and a 412 at Sarnesthead Station. It all stems apparently from a wish for the franchise owners to move the stadium downtown and to acquire some space there, and they haven't been able to get that. And as a consequence of not getting that, they're talking about moving. Don Garber is the MLS commissioner and is involved in the process. He had a meeting with the mayor of Columbus, to which they came out and nothing seems to have changed. Critics will be saying, well, you know, Columbus have the opportunity to keep them there if they give them the land. Others will say, well, you know, in fairness, well, what's happening here is the Crew have no intention of trying to build a new stadium. They're just looking for a way out of what is now a very small market by comparison to MLS, current MLS standards.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Columbus is a small market by comparison to Orlando and Seattle, Toronto, Minnesota even. Terrible team, but big, big fan base is Portland. Massive, you know. 20, 30, 40,000 people turning up for these games now.
And you have teams that aren't even in MLS yet that are
banging on the door.
Banging on the door and say they can bring...
And can bring at least 20,000. Yeah. And then you've got Columbus, you know. Frankly, it's another world. So you've got to balance it all up, and I appreciate it is complicated. But I do think it reflects very poorly on the MLS that they can't manage their traditions better.
Yes, indeed. My turn. Well, here's a related subject, promotion and relegation.
Ooh, what, in MLS or just in general?
Just in general, because obviously MLS doesn't have promotion and relegation. Oh. So the teams that are there are protected.
Yes. Yes, it's true. Because, I mean, if they had promotion and relegation, then Columbus would presumably have been relegated.
Yes.
They'd have gone down for sporting reasons.
Yeah.
Partly sporting, partly. Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's a small club. Small clubs get relegated.
Yeah. They're also in the A-League, there's no promotion and relegation.
There's not.
So there's protection there as well.
Yes.
Do you think it is worth a wider conversation? Because the issue of promotion and relegation is discussed quite a lot in these countries. The pros and cons of it. It usually happens in Australia when they play their version of the FA Cup, because they play teams from outside the A-League. And everyone says, oh, isn't this great? Well, what a thriving football community we have in Australia. Yeah. And then when they go back to their leagues and go, well, look, wouldn't this make it a lot more interesting if we had promotion and relegation? And there are also people there who haven't just got into football in the last 2 years who don't know. We had this before and it's an awful, awful thing. You do not want this. But do you think it's going to be something that could be discussed in a wider sense? Yeah, can you imagine a world where promotion and relegation are taken away?
My initial thought on it is that it's a really, really bad idea to get rid of promotion and relegation, because I think it adds a bit of spice, and also it regenerates the stock, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that each division becomes richer for it. You know, it's great to see Huddersfield, for example, in the Premier League, and you wouldn't have that without promotion and relegation. But I mean, you know, I'm open to most things. This is a bit of a stretch, but I'd like to, you know, I'd like to hear more about whether, you know, how it would work in this country.
We talked earlier on in the year, didn't we, about interview by, was it Bradley Wright Phillips, who said that the amount of coaching that goes on in the MLS is far greater. And he puts that down in some parts, the fact that there isn't that intensity of needing to get the results, because there's no relegation. I mean, they're only going for the top, they're not racing to the bottom, and it improves the standard of play. But I, for one, would get bored with the same teams over and over again.
Yeah. Right, yeah, open up a door, quick, let's get out of this conversation.
It is youth football, in particular the UEFA Under-17 tournament in England.
Yeah, that's good, that's in May, isn't it? We're not the holders of that specific tournament. No. One of the few that we're not a whole lot after this wonderful year we've had in youth football. We lost the final, didn't we, Terry?
Yes.
On penalties.
Yes.
Heartbreaking.
We conceded an equaliser in injury time.
Yeah.
And it went straight to a penalty shootout, and we just ballsed it up big time.
Yeah, but they got their own back, didn't they, Ian? Because they played the same team in the final of the world, one in India.
And won.
No, they didn't just win, did they? they were 2-0 down, and then they stomped it, didn't they? It was a glorious performance. This tournament is going to be based in the Midlands and South Yorkshire. How many people do you think are going to go? Do you think it has actually livened up interest in this, or do you think it'll be two men and a dog turning up for it?
It would be good if we had more people going to these. I think that there will be more of an interest in it, given the youth side's success last summer.
Yeah.
But I think that some of the venues they've got are disappointing, I think, considering the prestige that the England side have got.
Yeah.
So the final's in Rotherham, I think. Right. No disrespect to Rotherham's ground, but the final of the...
Sounds
disrespectful to me.
Okay, so the final of the FIFA Under-17 tournament was at Salt Lake City in India.
Yeah.
And that held nearly 67,000 people.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty full.
It was,
So, you know, I'm just not sure whether... I mean, it would be... If you can fill out a 12,000-seater stadium for it, then I suppose that would be quite an atmosphere, but it just feels like it's not been given the...
I know what you mean. Yeah. And obviously, the England games are probably going to be a lot more better subscribed than the other teams in there, so... Yeah. You can play a few games at St George's Park, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Not much of a problem there. Yeah, and it won't be that much of a problem. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think it could be the England games, in which maybe they might, on reflection, are thinking, maybe we should have booked a bigger venue for England, but we'll see. Mm. If they sell out and they've got people knocking on the door, then they'll know for next time.
Yeah.
Whose turn is it to open the door? Terry, it's your
turn,
isn't it?
It's my turn, yes. It's the Conifer World Football Cup in London. There's a World Cup being held in London next year. The CONIFA.
Now.
Confederation of Independent Football Associations.
Now, what does that mean exactly?
It's all the countries that either are countries but aren't recognised by FIFA or aren't countries because they're not recognised by whoever happens to be occupying them. And then there's other areas which it's probably just best not to define for risk of, you know, being unnecessarily political. There's a whole slew of countries, and the status of which is controversial or not. So just to read out a few, there's Padania, as we all know, which is in Europe. There's Northern Cyprus, which is highly contested. There's Punjab. There's the United Koreans of Japan. I'm afraid I don't know what that is, but I'm assuming that that's an enclave within Japan, a Korean enclave within Japan, but I may be wrong about that. There's Zekeliland, which apparently is in Europe.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's Tibet, which, of course, a lot of people know about. There's a lot of things there which you almost wish you didn't have to say out loud for fear that you will end up offending somebody somewhere. Nevertheless, all of these nations are assembling in London, because where else than London for that kind of thing?
Well, the actual hosts are Barawa.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Yes.
From Africa.
Because obviously England aren't hosting it because at the moment we're not part of CONIFER. Maybe after. Maybe in the next year's Advent calendar we might be. How will England get on in the CONIFER World Cup? But that's not something that we have to think about now.
Now, it is in London. The venues haven't been named yet. But I definitely think we should be getting along to at least a couple of these.
Definitely. There's I know that Sutton United hosted a CONIFER match at some point in the past.
Yeah.
So hopefully, which is within a thrice of where we are located. Listen,
I would imagine this is going to be based at quite a lot of London's finer non-league stadiums around.
Which for us is just squelch, isn't it?
Yeah. That is.
It's just squelch.
It is just squelch.
Well, it is.
Yeah. It is.
And now it can be squelch for you.
Sorry, listeners.
Squelch.
Oh, World Cup songs. Well, that's something we're going to be treated to this year, isn't it?
Are we? Is that going to happen?
Is it still a thing?
Do we get those anymore?
I don't know. Was there a one last time?
If there's any way to cash in on a World Cup, people would do it, won't they? I've got a feeling there's going to be a rebirth in World Cup.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I have a fantasy.
Do you?
It's a bizarre fantasy. I'm going to share it with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a fantasy that William Shatner would do a cover version of Vindaloo. Because I think that it would be amazing.
Yeah, that thing I'm imagining right now.
Yeah.
That's exactly it, isn't it?
It's exactly what I think it would be just brilliant. I won't attempt to do it. The whole Ben Folds thing and you know, his mighty oeuvre from the 1970s.
Yeah,
I think he's perfect for it.
Personally. Sign him up. I don't think anything.
I'm sold.
He would do it for charity. Certainly, if it was a charity song, he would do it, probably.
Open the door, Jan.
It's money.
Money.
Money, 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 money.
the root of all evil.
It is.
So, well, last year it went a bit crazy, didn't it, with money?
Yeah, there was money everywhere.
There was a lot of money. And we thought there was a lot of money the year before when China was splashing it around. And then last year, PSG came along and said,
Well, the Chinese have kind of changed their minds about the whole money thing.
Yeah, they've gone a bit quiet now.
The Chinese government has said, where's that money going in? It's going into the hands of capitalists. Let me just look at this red book. I'm pretty certain it says somewhere here that we're not supposed to do this.
Just how many container loads of money are you planning on taking out the country? that sort of thing is getting a bit frowned upon in Beijing. But obviously, you've still got PSG splashing the cash. I mean, is this just going to get worse, or do we think? Where's it going to come from next time?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't know. This could be it.
Yeah.
Neymar could simply have been an outlier, but I don't know. And I don't think anyone should be surprised if everyone costs 200 million in 5 years' time.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you might find players that aren't as gifted, for example, as Neymar, going for similar amounts.
Yeah.
So Coutinho could go for something ridiculous. Fine player that he is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you could see some eye-watering sums changing hands for players that are, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, it's impossible to say because we don't know what there's... And I wonder if there's another topic coming up later in the Advent calendar that might play into this question as well.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see if it's behind the next one, won't we?
Well, I don't know.
Well, who knows?
Well, Terry, you open the door
and see if it does. Well, it's West Ham, as it happens.
West Ham.
I've been unkind about West Ham on this podcast, so I'm glad that I had to open this one up, because I have been a little unkind about West Ham.
Yes.
But my unkindness is really aimed at the people who own West Ham, whom I don't consider to have the interests of the club at heart.
No.
It's not really about West Ham themselves. As obviously a Palace fan, I enjoy the jocularity of a local rivalry as much as anybody else does.
Mm.
But I have no desire to see their fans unnecessarily suffer. Just a bit of necessary suffering from time to time is good for the soul. But I don't think that they are as well run as they could be, that football club. And they're playing a dangerous game. But David Moyes does appear to be getting it done. So,
what do you think? Do you think Moyes is just having a little lucky patch at the moment?
I don't know. I know he wasn't ultimately responsible for something going down. It's a very complex picture.
Sure, he was just the manager.
He was just the manager at the time.
he was just driving at the time.
Just driving as the bus went off the cliff. It's not my fault. I mean, who put the engine together? Who checked the brakes?
Pretty much, it was moving when he actually took the wheel, wasn't it?
Nah, but the steering wheel was broken, and the brakes weren't working.
It wasn't even connected.
He is loathed by probably every single Sunderland supporter, I think they're dying for him to do badly. I am amongst that number, and I'd like to see him do badly.
But I'd
like to see them do badly for the reasons that Terry said, because there's some other things going on at West Ham which are just not nice.
Exactly. West Ham. Well,
can I just say, I really love the way people from the south, or you guys, say West Ham.
It's like people from the north say it, saying it's not Newcastle, it's Newcastle.
Yeah. Newcastle.
Newcastle.
Ludicrous thing.
Yes, never heard anything more ludicrous in my life. Right, I'm going to open the door. Door number 18. It's Brexit.
Brexit. Oh,
boo.
Boo.
Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah. Open up door 19. Yeah.
It's the 2026 World Cup announcement.
Ooh, yeah.
Is that happening this year?
That is happening in March.
That's exciting. All right, so that's the other thing.
It's just being announced, so there's no vote or anything in this one.
All right,
they realise that's fraught with terrible things.
So they're going to flip a coin?
No, they're just going to decide.
They're just going to decide.
Yeah.
Is anyone actually bidding for it? So is anyone saying, we'll do it?
It's Canada, USA and Mexico joint
in a bid. Triple bid, yeah.
And Morocco is the other one.
Wow, that would be amazing. That would be great if it was Morocco. Is this the World Cup where, like, everyone goes?
Yeah. This is the 48 team one.
The 48 team one,
yeah.
Which
like
we vigorously
world.
Defended, I think.
We did. Yeah.
We did, I mean, perhaps stupidly. But nevertheless, vigorously.
I don't think so.
So Morocco hosting, yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, I can see a triple one going down quite nicely. I think because, you know, because obviously you've got more teams going.
Yeah.
But if that's really all it is. The Rugby World Cup was decided in favour of France, as is often the preoccupation of rugby union types, wanting to come across as being, you know, less corrupt and more ethical than football. I went through a transparent preferred bidder status. So they put all the numbers up on the screen and they said, "This is these are all the bids that have come in. This is how much they're offering. This is what the package, blah, 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 blah," to be fully transparent and say, "And after due consideration, we recommend to you, World Rugby, that you select South Africa because that is, you know, the best bid all around." And they all voted for France. So up yours, Rugby Union. It's Facebook / Amazon / Netflix. This is presumably the possibility that a Premier League football rights, or indeed football rights, could go to online streaming platforms. Am I right?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
How likely do you think that is going to be in 2018?
Maybe not 2018.
No, but the deals are being done next year, aren't they?
I think they are going to be manoeuvring themselves, placing themselves in a position where they can make a bid. And yeah, they could. They could easily make a bid next year.
But
that is going to shake things up a bit.
Mm. Yeah.
How much of your television now do you watch through Amazon and Netflix?
Probably the majority.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of Amazon this week. Unfortunately, I was unwell, so I spent a lot of time in just watching Amazon, which is good. And as I think I said when we talked about this previously, the amount of money that for the Premier League, for example, is pocket change to these guys.
Yeah.
Amazon could buy those rights up and give it away with Prime. That could really happen.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm a little bit more sceptical than my colleague, but yes, I mean, of course, they have plenty of money. My only concern is that it's just such an expensive enterprise above and beyond just paying for the rights that I think it could easily be a ruiner of good business models. Mm. And so, therefore, I wonder if they might be a little bit cautious about it. But, no one should be surprised if at least one of those platforms has picked up some strand of rights for one of the major soccer leagues. And the Premier League is kind of, I mean, it doesn't kick in for another year and a half afterwards, but it's going to be decided next year.
Yeah. Pep Guardiola. Well, you know, he can do no wrong at the moment, can he, really? I mean, his team has won, well, 430,000 games in a row now, haven't they now?
At least.
Yeah, they just can't stop winning. And unless Hearts come down and beat them, then no one
will. Yes. Congratulations to Hearts, by the way. Yes, I watched that game. What a game that was.
Yeah.
Like, but brilliant. Absolutely blew them away. It's a fantastic game, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got all the answers, hasn't he? And if he doesn't have all the answers systemically, then he's got the players who can find answers in the very last minute. And just pull something out of the hat. So even if he doesn't make it work tactically, he's got individual players that can somehow find a result from somewhere.
And he's got Kevin De Bruyne playing
unbelievable. I can't believe it though. He got his ankle looked like bent in half in that game against Spurs, and he got up.
Yeah.
And then just like ran down the other end of the field and larruped one in. Absolutely phenomenal player. He'll be toast by the time he gets to the World Cup.
With only luck.
But hopefully. But, I mean, they're going to win it all, aren't they? They're certainly going to win the league, aren't they?
Well, yeah, potentially, but it is early on and, you know, they're not as solid defensively as you would hope. So, you know, there's a chance that I wouldn't say the wheels are going to come off, but there's a chance that they may have a little bit of a poor patch.
I mean, Fabian Delph as a fullback, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, comparisons with the Invincibles should always be tampered with the fact that Fabian Delph is one of their fullbacks.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, that Invincible side, they started a hell of a lot of game with Pascal Siegen in defence, so...
I take it back. I take it all back.
Yeah, well, there you go.
It's the Nations League.
Nations League.
Nations League. Yeah, Nations League, that starts... this year. Yeah. Well, 2018. That's gosh, the start of September. It? Yeah, it's yeah, like it the group exciting. Stage is going to be in September, October, November. Yeah, I am excited by yeah, it. You've got a draw coming up in January.
Do we? All yeah. Oh, right, well, that's even more exciting. Yeah. What should, do we dare? No. No. Not a fake Nations League.
No, I don't think so. No. I don't think so. I mean, it's tempting.
It is
tempting, I know.
Maybe we should think about that.
Yeah.
We should talk about it.
Come on, Jan. The Nations League is going to be great, isn't it?
It is. One of the reasons why I don't really like international football is because the friendlies punctuate the actual football season.
Yeah.
And they tend to, you know, most of the players tend to pull out through some minor injury because they're concentrating on their club. So it tends to make it quite for boring watch, really. But this, I think, will inject some real interest into excellent. International football, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. If you only see one international tournament in 2018, see the World Cup.
Yes.
But if you see two, see the Nations League.
And promotion and relegation.
And promotion and relegation, of course.
Yeah.
It's the future of international football.
Yeah,
it is.
Where franchising is the future of club football. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Controversial. But hey, this is what could be coming ahead.
Yeah.
Whose go is it? My go?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just staring at it going, do I have to say this out? It's the FA.
Yeah. The FA have had a bit of the year, haven't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know quite what to say about the FA, I'm afraid, but I'm just thinking about the Iluco affair thinking I must confess very bleak thoughts about the Football Association.
Yeah, we're still going to be saying the same things about the FA in 5 years, 10 years,
yeah,
20 possibly. Years time.
I think that's the thing about it, is that it, either it will never change and they will just be who they are forever, or at some point the whole edifice is just going to come crashing down because of some reason. But it's like one of those situations, you just simply cannot foresee that from happening, and yet it might.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid that's all I have to hold on. But for the elimination of any doubt, I think that if the FA was to crumble into dust tomorrow, then although there will be a great deal of resultant panic and problems and issues, they are all logistic issues. I think that actually it might not be a bad thing.
Mm.
Agreed.
Yeah, rightly or wrongly, they haven't been able to bask in the glory of the success of the youth teams.
No, which is a little bit of a shame, I suppose.
A little bit of a shame.
St George's Park is a...
Yeah, you know, is actually working.
Yeah.
Well, it seems to be anyway.
It's generating the coaches, presumably. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're obviously working within an infrastructure that is sick.
Yeah.
And needs help.
Yeah.
Let's hope that there is some breakthroughs there, but we're not exactly holding our breath, are we?
No,
not really.
No. Right, come on. Let's all open this last one then.
Oh, okay.
Well, it couldn't be anything else, could it, really?
No, it couldn't be anything else.
It couldn't be anything else.
It's the World Cup.
It's
the World Cup.
Yeah. The FIFA World Cup. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be the most dominating thing of next year. Everyone is going to be talking about it. Before and afterwards.
Mm-hmm. It's when the world...
And quite a few people were talking about it during it as well.
They will. It's when the football opens its doors to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And all the people who don't normally watch football suddenly become football experts for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. Now, high-minded individuals like ourselves, we will use the term problematic when it comes to this World Cup. Because it's in Russia. Mm-hmm. We all know...
Yeah.
What that brings along with it.
Hmm.
Are you going to be able to enjoy this World Cup as you have enjoyed World Cups in the past?
Well, I don't see why not.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yes.
I might be going.
Yes, you might be going.
Mm. What, to actual Russia?
And to actual Russia, yeah.
Nice.
I might be.
I might be going also.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to be great, actually.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
Russia. We're only going to see the sanitised bits, aren't we?
Yes, I mean, you know, I mean, the term Potemkin village does originate from Russia. So, you know, if anyone knows how to put on a Potemkin village, it's the Russians. So, yeah, I mean, that will be what will happen. But, as is always the case for football fans, we suspend our ethics for, you know, the duration of the tournament.
Mm.
For those of us that have them.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be... as a tournament, as a football tournament, I think it's going to be great, though, isn't it? I think it's going to be quite an open one this year.
Yeah, definitely. No clear favourites.
I think there could be a surprise winner on this one as well.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the big favourites are probably Brazil.
Yeah.
But, I mean, given what happened last time, I wouldn't say that was for definite.
Mm.
It's always still traditionally difficult to win a World Cup outside of your continent. I know Germany did it last year, but that was the first time that it had been done. So it's difficult, I think, for a South American team to win in Europe. And it wasn't necessarily a given that Germany will retain their title, because winning another World Cup is even harder than winning the one before. So, and of course, yes, I mean, there's Spain, France, Argentina, but I'm sure all analysts, all people who are experts in those particular nations will point to weaknesses somewhere, but will make things interesting.
Mm.
So, England, no, stop it.
Oh, dare to dream, dare to dream.
Yeah, we've got to be optimistic, haven't we?
Yeah, and that's what Christmas is all about, isn't it, really?
It is, yeah.
We just look up to a star and think, I wish. And then you sort of think, no, I really can't wish that. That's just a waste of a wish, isn't it?
And then you realise it's that big cigar-shaped object that's actually travelling towards us. It's not a star at all.
Yeah.
It can't destroy us all.
Well, listeners, that's all our doors on our advent calendar open and all the chocolate eaten. And hopefully that gives you an insight on what football's going to be like in 2018 and certainly what most of our podcasts will be about next year.
Indeed.
Yeah. But obviously there'll be other things that will fall in our lap and we'll discuss those matters. But we hope you've enjoyed listening to our advent calendar. This was our seventh, as I said, and we'll be back next year, obviously, doing this again.
Well, but, assuming we're all here.
Yeah, but let's see how many other football podcasts are doing it next year, eh?
I wonder.
There's so many of them now. They've got to be scratching around for content. But anyway, I think only leaves me to say, have a very, very Merry Christmas, and we'll see you in the new year to discuss these things at greater length. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and from Terry DeFillon, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Which for us is just squelch, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
It's just squelch.
It is just squelch.
Well, it is.
Yeah, it is.
And now it can be squelch for you.
Sorry, listeners.